This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, June 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Senate GOP looks to shrink SNAP cuts. Dems blast USDA spending bill. NRCS chief hopes to streamline functions. Senate R's move to shrink SNAP cuts. Republicans on the Senate Ag Committee are looking to scale back the cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program contained in the House-based budget reconciliation bill. Committee Chair John Bozeman of Arkansas said yesterday the final number is still a moving target, but he acknowledged that Majority Leader John Thune would like the committee to come up with a net reduction of about $150 billion. I think they would like for us to be in that range, Bozeman said. It's well short of the net $238 billion cut that the House bill would make after accounting for additional spending on farm bill programs. The House bill's cut relies heavily on requiring states to start paying a part of the cost of SNAP, an idea that's facing opposition among Senate Republicans. The Senate bill is likely to include expanded work requirements for SNAP, as well as increased spending for commodity programs. Bozeman says the committee is still waiting on final decisions from the Senate parliamentarian on whether some farm bill provisions could be included in the bill. He didn't elaborate. The U.S. and China agreed to meet more after Trump and Xi talk. The United States and China have agreed to conduct more trade discussions after a lengthy phone call between President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping that Trump called, quote, very positive. Trump said on Truth Social that the hour-and-a-half-long call, which he initiated, quote, resulted in a very positive conclusion for both countries. China recently placed export controls on rare earth minerals, which are vital to the auto industry. Trump implied there might be resolution, writing, quote, there should no longer be any questions respecting the complexity of rare earth products. A statement from the Chinese embassy in Washington said China is living up to commitments it made in Geneva last month. The U.S., it said, quote, should acknowledge the progress already made and remove the negative measures taken against China. The two presidents agreed that their teams should continue implementing the Geneva Agreement and hold another round of meetings as soon as possible, the statement said. Democrats rip USDA spending bill. House GOP's fiscal 2026 spending bill is headed for consideration in the full Appropriation Committee next week. The Ag Appropriations Subcommittee approved the bill on a party-line vote after Democrats took turns accusing Republicans of shortchanging a wide range of programs, from the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program to Food for Peace and Rural Development Assistance. The legislation, which also includes funding for FDA and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, would reduce total discretionary funding by 4.4% or $1.2 billion to $25.5 billion for FY26 for the covered departments and agencies. This bill sets USDA on a responsible and sustainable spending path that will make the department and our nation stronger, said Subcommittee Chair Andy Harris of Maryland. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. NRCS chief hopes to streamline functions. Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Aubrey Betancourt says Her team is looking for ways to streamline approvals, eliminate barriers to entry, and provide better service. Speaking at Field to Market's annual meeting in Kansas City, Betancourt also discussed the need to better arm farmers with data so they can enter markets and claim accurate credits. One potential vehicle the agency is exploring to bridge the gap between private partners and farmers is the Sustains Act. That 2023 law, championed by House Ag Chair Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, allows NRCS to accept private funds to support a wider range of conservation programs, including those addressing carbon sequestration, improving wildlife habitat, and protecting drinking water. The Biden administration solicited public comment on how to implement the bill in August. I firmly believe that it is NRCS' role to sit in the middle and help be a partner in convening that conversation and coming up with a process for going forward, Betancourt said. Now, also from Kansas City, FTM, a Sustainable Agriculture Alliance, released guidance for regenerative agriculture to address the growing popularity of the term. The group crafted a definition of regenerative ag in 2022. Since that time, members have worked to create guidance and to support the adoption of regenerative practices. The guidance demonstrates the potential environmental impact of regenerative agriculture practices, offers finance pathways to support adoption and farm profitability, and highlights potential positive impacts on farming communities. Lawsuit challenges USDA termination of USDA grants. Three groups are suing USDA over the termination of grants through three programs, including the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities, now called Advancing Markets for Producers. Among the plaintiffs is the Washington-based Oakville Bluegrass Cooperative, which received a $4.9 million PCSC award that was terminated April 22nd. The lawsuit says termination letters for the projects did not explain how they had failed to meet the new Farmer First requirements. The cooperative has been forced to lay off five employees and halted all soil sampling and testing, the suit said. It has returned a truck it was renting, ending a lease for a facility it used to store equipment and grass seed, and has not been able to pay a university lab that was helping with soil sampling. Other programs named in the lawsuit include the Forest Service Urban and Community Forestry Program and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture Community Food Projects Competitive Grants Program. Summit Carbon Solutions gets a needed win from federal court. Summit Carbon Solutions got a significant win yesterday when a federal appeals court found that ordinances passed by two Iowa counties are preempted by federal and state law. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis affirmed separate rulings by a federal district court. Setbacks required by both counties are, quote, safety standards and thus preempted by Federal Pipeline Safety Act, the court said. In addition, because Summit could conceivably comply with a permit issued by the Iowa Utilities Commission, but still run afoul of county ordinances, those ordinances are preempted, the court said. The company wants to build a 2,500-mile pipeline through Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and North and South Dakota. But a law passed in South Dakota prohibiting the use of eminent domain for pipeline transporting carbon dioxide. Summit is preparing a new application for its proposed operations in that state. Here's today's final word. It's not a game changer. It's a life changer. That Kevin Stuckey, Sal Unit Manager at Cooper Farms, on his optimism about the PRRS-resistant pig genetics approved by the FDA would mean for producers if commercialized. You can hear more from Stuckey, as well as Oklahoma Pork Executive Director Kylie Deans and Chris Ford, Vice President of Corporate Swine Leader at Farm Credit Services of America, on AgriPulse Newsmakers today. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, June 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.